So, the question is, underneath all you are and what you claim to be and what you are concerned you and your life might be about, is it possible that you are living an uncreative life of avoidance?
Can you just run that one more time?
Well,
underneath all that.
Regardless of who you think you are and anything about your life, about what you're doing and all of that, is it possible that you are living a life of avoidance? In other words, are your beliefs and ways focused more on what you do not want than on fully creating and living as you truly desire?
Yeah, I'd say yes to that.
What'd you say, Patrick?
That's entirely possible.
Well, and I guess the question is, have you taken a really insightful look at your life and actions to perceive and understand what you might actually be trying to avoid? Maybe if you looked at what you might be trying to avoid, you would gain greater insights into yourself than if you were looking at what you're trying to gain or do.
Well, I certainly never did that because it never had occurred to me that I was avoiding anything. I always assumed I was going towards something or expressing something.
Yeah, but the point of it is, even if you're expressing something, you're going towards something, it may in fact be that you are living a life of avoidance. And the question is it possible, since most people, like with my all afternoon with Ewan, who won't reveal what it is that he truly desires to me or to himself, that we could gain more understanding by what it is you or he is attempting to avoid.
Okay, hang on, so let me clarify something. Won't reveal or can't reveal? I guess can't means won't, maybe, but...
Well,
some people say that they have no idea, they can't answer the question.
Well, maybe after we get through part of this night, which is only a couple of pages ahead here. Well, it's further ahead than I thought it was. But anyway, that after we go along here, we might get to a point where we can say, wait a minute, maybe you have a greater awareness of yourself, or at least we know you have a greater access to awareness of yourself. Maybe you're avoiding that awareness or that access. Maybe you're afraid to access who you really are. Okay. Well,
I don't disagree with that, because if I access who I truly am and realize, quote unquote, my greatness, that challenges all of the things that I've been believing up until this point about greatness of God or what influence or power, quote unquote, I may have in my life, and et cetera, et cetera. Absolutely. Scares the shit out of me.
What if you don't have any greatness? Would that be okay?
Greatness?
Huh?
That cut out, I didn't hear it.
I said, what if you don't have any greatness? What if there is no greatness other than who you are today? If you are concerned about greatness, would that make you happy as a clam?
Well, no, it's to me that greatness is present in who I am today. That takes away me striving for something or having a purpose or a goal or something to achieve in life?
Well, my question to you is, what if there is no greatness for you and no greatness to attain to?
So everything's fine as I am.
Well, but is it?
I want to believe that.
If I were to ask you to write out a life for your eternal self that included no superlatives, no good, better, best. What, I don't mean to, just generally, what would you write about your eternal self? No, let me back off. What would be different about your eternal self than your personal self today?
Without superlatives and without things to achieve, what would be the difference between the eternal self and my personal self?
Yes. In other words, I don't think you can think of your eternal self without superlatives in one form or another. Now, if I take the superlatives away from you, just as an experiment, What life would you perceive your eternal self being?
What life would I perceive my eternal self being?
Being and living.
It would be in different colors and. Can you hear me?
Yeah, it cut out. The bird got noisy at this end.
Something happening on the night phone calls now.
Eternal
self and not eternal
being, correct? Well, alright, eternal being.
Eternal being, I think, sees things, for example, in different patterns and shapes and colors than I do, with a different interpretation and without judgment.
What if your eternal being is living exactly, remember the illustration I used here, last week or whenever, about if you drive down the street, the wheel on the right side of your car turns clockwise and the wheel on the left side of your car turns counterclockwise, yet they're both doing the same thing. What if you and your eternal self is doing or living exactly the same thing, yet though in that it seems to be doing opposite or other than yourself? What if it's doing exactly the same? It's kind of like your hand in a puppet. The puppet does what your hand does. Your hand does what the puppet does. What if your eternal self is living the exact same life that you're living today, only there's something different? What then might be the difference? And you can call on anybody for a shout out and an answer.
Eternal being is living without struggle.
Okay, then it is possible then that eternal being is living the exact same life that you are living, but he is not, this, she is not, we settled that last, yesterday, didn't we? She is not discontenting herself. So then I would ask you, what might your life be today if you were not discontenting yourself?
Dead boring.
Would it?
No, not at all.
No, don't change your mind just because I asked you.
No, I was being my usual cheeky self. No, it would be freeing and unencumbering and...
And that word comes from is that your life today, in terms of your emotions and all of that, the negative always seems to govern. And in that, your life is probably a great deal struggling to avoid the negative.
Yes.
Well, then maybe you are, in a sense, struggling to live the communion of yourself with an eternal being and not discontenting yourself. Maybe the avoidance that you're trying to, that you are actually struggling to avoid is discontent.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, question in all that is then, are you holding on to unsatisfying beliefs? Or are you going along with others' beliefs that are unsatisfying to you merely because you don't want to live alone with your beliefs?
That sounds about right.
Or maybe you want to even hide from your own beliefs.
Nobody would be my friend.
Is it possible you find it difficult to live in the world of unsatisfying beliefs because these are not true where you come from?
But is it possible I find it uncomfortable?
That you find it very difficult to live in this world of unsatisfying beliefs because those beliefs are not true where you come from. We're just playing what if.
Very difficult.
Well, what if those beliefs are exactly the same? But where you come from, you don't discontent yourself about those beliefs. If you're saying anything, I'm not getting any thing.
No, I just said aha.
Oh, well, okay, I didn't even get that.
Oh, but then...
What?
Then people would make me a guru and, like, build a website or... going to solve all their problems.
Who said they would?
I did.
Well, maybe they wouldn't. Maybe that's the point.
Well, I guess that's my fear, that if somebody decides that I have the answers, that they're
going to
be...
You would love it, love it, love it.
What?
Do you want me to say that again, or are you really not hearing it? Or you just want me to say it again?
Yes, I want you to say it again. What was it?
You would just love it, love it, love it.
I guess if I wasn't discontenting myself, I might, because right now I would see it as a burden or an obligation.
Nah.
People see it.
Nah. You'd love every minute of it.
Oh, I beg to differ with you.
Okay, go ahead. Beg, beg, beg. I don't care.
Well, I guess... So, with living, trying to avoid discontent.
Oh, I never said anything about that. I never said living to avoid discontent. Living full and not discontenting yourself. That has nothing to do with avoiding discontent.
Oh, you're right. But what was your initial question then? We were talking about avoiding.
I said, what if the only difference between your life today as a personal being and your life today as an eternal being is that an eternal being doesn't discontent himself. The life is not necessarily different. One's not greater, bigger, or more whatever. The life and the self are exactly the same. The only difference is that, and I'm playing what if, the eternal self does not discontent herself.
When you opened the phone call this evening, though, there was a question that had to do with what if what's really going on is we're trying to avoid something instead of attain something. Is that correct?
Sure.
Am I tying something in?
Is there something you are trying to avoid? I would say from the nature of what I understand it is, you're trying to avoid your life today. Because you discontent yourself about your life today. And so is most people, avoiding their life today in one way or another, hoping that in an eternal being or an eternal life, it'll be all goody two-shoes, happy, blissful, joyful, everything else. Now I'm just taking that to task and saying, what if it is exactly the same, and yet it's not the same? That the same has nothing to do with superior, greater, wiser, whatever. It has nothing to do with that. It only has to do with whether or not you discontent yourself. Would you be willing to live the self and life you live today eternally, not discontenting yourself?
Yes. So you're saying, if I summarize, that the difference is the eternal being is living without the element of discontent.
What if that's true? Then the question is, if that's the only difference between personal being and eternal being, or the life of that, one is not greater, one is not lesser, one is not wiser, smarter, anything. Dumb shit is just as dumb or as smart as we are right now. But what if the only difference in that is that whomever and whatever you are as an eternal being, whatever's going on, you don't discontent yourself? Is it possible then that with that awareness, you could live your personal life today as an eternal being simply by not discontenting yourself?
Oh, it's possible, and oh boy, it would feel like cheating. You know, I'd have to give up my hair, shirt, and all the things that I'm supposed to work hard to get the rewards of working hard. Oh my God, I'm going to sit around peeling grapes all day, Roger.
No, you can do everything that you are already doing, and nothing has to change. But you don't have to discontent yourself about what you are doing.
That is brilliant.
You see, what we've done is we've set our language that everything is a duality, and so the opposite of everything is, well, if life sucks here, then it's good, better, best over there. If you feel dumb here, then it's smart over there. Wisdom is somewhere else, and so you spend a life struggling to gain that wisdom, that right emotion, that right feeling, and etc. My question is, what if it's the same, except you don't discontent yourself? Would that be desirable?
Yes. Absolutely. I'd be a fool to say no.
You see, but then you don't have to learn, grow, and develop. You don't have to be faithful. You don't have to be trustworthy. You don't have to be wise as a wise man. You don't have to do anything to truly live as you desire other than what you're doing today, except don't discontent yourself. Is there a difference to you between don't discontent yourself and don't judge?
There a difference?
Yeah. In other words, are we going to end up this conversation by saying, okay, keep living your life today just as it is, but don't judge? Would that work out?
What do you mean by judge?
You answer the question and then tell me what you mean by judge.
Okay, so please ask the question again.
If we say that personal self and eternal self life, or being, excuse me, personal being and eternal being life is essentially the same. The only difference between that is that your eternal self does not discontent herself. Would that apply to saying they are the same, but your eternal self does not judge? And the reason I'm asking you that is because everybody seems to lay the finger on judge. And if you don't judge, does that solve the problem? If you don't judge, have you not discontented yourself?
Well, now I understand judge to mean more than one thing, that there's judging that is observing a differentiation, and there's judgment that becomes a self-inflicted or other-inflicted, harsh, recriminative, is that a word?
Okay, but
it has a,
but now I'm asking you the relationship between judge and discontent.
No, I can judge and I cannot be discontented in the judging, knowing that it's not a right, wrong, recriminatory, finger pointing, good, bad, in order to make myself often. Make myself feel good. Judging can exist in that context. I see that now, and yes, I would not discontent myself.
Okay, can you also see it in the context that reacting and then you judge your reaction? And the relationship in not discontenting yourself, maybe that means not reacting. The minute you react to something, you have already discontented yourself.
Raj, good question.
I recall conversations where we've said, even if you stop judging, as long as we continue we're still in the same stew.
You are, simply because a judgment follows a reaction. So if you're still reacting, and then you're not expressing your judgment, you're still screwed. So the question is, in discontenting in yourself, that precedes judging. If in any way you
doesn't
judge,
it really? Oh.
Doesn't it?
Well, actually, to tell you the truth, I thought that judging came first, put on the consequences, thus then, therefore, we feel discontent. I had it that way.
Well, what if what if discontenting is reacting?
I guess I'm a little confused on that, only because I thought all reacting was
what?
I thought it was all judgment. Judgment was the basis of consequenting and reacting.
I don't understand.
The whole basis.
I don't understand.
In other words, if I didn't judge, my reactions wouldn't occur.
No. No, your reaction occurs and then you judge. If you don't judge, your action has already betrayed you.
Help me with that. I guess I said it was a reaction, I caught the red light instead of the green light, and so I'm mad. Is that the reaction? The anger part?
No, you're reacting. If something happens, you react to that in your life. Then you may judge the event or your reaction as good, bad, or indifferent. And then you can be angry about that, and then you can feel disappointed in your anger about the judgment, about the reaction, which is discontenting yourself from the get-go.
So are you saying that light turns red and I put up my brake, that's a reaction?
If what?
That's my response to, driving down the road, light turns red.
Andrew, do me a favor.
Yeah.
Get off of your illustration. Don't mention your illustration again. I want to talk only in terms of a sequence of judging and reacting and not discontenting yourself. Only when you understand that can you apply
it. Here's what I could use. I could help and not reacting.
You're breaking up badly.
Sorry, that's better?
Yeah.
I could use, to me right now, reacting is, in my picture that I'm trying to create, is behaving a lot like a pronoun. I don't have a picture for reacting as we're talking about it.
Why not?
Well, because I had thought it was judging, and now if it's not judging, I don't know what it is.
If I were to come and hit you, don't you react to that before you, whether you judge that?
Yeah, I flinch or I...
Oh, so then your reaction came even before your judgment.
That's what I thought. That's what I want to know.
That's what I'm saying. So then the reacting is discontenting yourself at that time, which exists before the judgment occurs.
So then are you saying that eternal being is entirely non-reactive
or responsive, non-responsive?
Wait a minute now. Haven't I always said that? I ask you, are you willing to live your life so completely that you are never reacting to anyone or anything?
Well, you see, you've said that. Now I had a different understanding going of what that meant.
Well, now that's what I'm coming back to again, because when we talk about avoidance and etc., we've got to look at these things that I've said before from a different perspective. Are you willing to live your life so self-evidentingly you that you do not react to anyone or anything?
I can't even conceive that.
Me either. So if you hit me, if you come over here and you hit me, what occurs? Is it different?
Don't want to go there! Now I'm going to say it again.
Okay, then I need a description, because pronoun. I don't know what
Listen very carefully. If you want to use that example, you use it in your head as a vision, not as a discussion.
Okay, I'm just trying to create an image, so...
Listen very carefully. Here's what you're doing, Andrew, and I've asked you a gazillion times. You can create an image of my hitting you like watching Charlie Chaplin on a silent movie. You could watch that and there is no words. Don't think about it. Just see the image. Because what you're doing is you are giving me your talk about the image and screwing it up. So you can create an image of my hitting you like a silent movie, but don't talk about that as such. Use that event as a reaction. You can make an image of a reaction that way. But that I'm asking you is, don't bring it out in the world because when you do that and we talk about that image, it gets all distorted with language. Your commentary about the image destroys the image. Now my question, could you then not see somebody hitting Charlie Chaplin, he reacts to that, and then he makes a judgment about his reaction or what happened to him?
I can see that.
And then he could get upset or angry about the judgment that he's made, that what I did or whoever hit him was bad. So we can go through that visual scenario and you can create an image of that, but when you then bring it out to talk about it, your dialogue about that distorts what I'm talking about. I only want you to say to understand that reaction and discontenting yourself are essentially the same.
Thinking about it.
Okay. Now, if I press on your hand, am I not, in a sense, destroying your state of equilibrium, your homeostasis that you have established? And do you not then react to that? You're reacting to something that is impinging on your homeostasis or your harmony or the life you're living, so self-evidently so.
Okay.
So my question is, do you think it would be possible to live a life so self-evidently so that you would not react and, in a sense, not discontent yourself?
Hey, Roger.
Yes, Patrick.
Just generate the picture and then ask a question. I'm standing outside. There is a cool evening breeze. I sense the breeze moving across my skin. I find it pleasant. Have I discontented myself?
Yes.
Wow. Then please talk some more. I don't know what you're...
You see what you're doing here? You're treating content and discontent as good and bad. And if you say you find it pleasant, have you discontented yourself, you don't understand what's really going on. So I'm going to back up a second, okay?
Yeah.
What if you go outside and there's a cool fresh breeze and it blows across your hand and you find it pleasant? Is it possible that you are discontenting yourself in the nature of, say, that it is pleasant as opposed to before you didn't have it? And so this is a pleasant feeling now.
Yeah, inside the air was stuffy. I went outside and there's a cool breeze and it's preferable.
Okay, now, let's assume you are an eternal being. You're no longer Pat, you're Masters. You're living self-evidently so. You are living exactly what Patrick lives for you. And that stuffy old air inside, no, we won't say that for a minute. You go outside let's back up. The stuffy old air inside, you didn't discontent yourself about that, so that was okay. It wasn't discontenting at all. It wasn't stuffy. It was just you living yourself fully in your own way, in your own right. And then Patrick took you outside, and there was a breeze across your hand. No surprise there. You're living self-evidently you. So that doesn't, you're not discontenting yourself, and in that you were content inside and you were content outside.
Okay, can I ask another question here? Then is it important to factor in a reminder that my body is not me?
I've got a situation here in that, yes, your body is not you, but I don't want you, and I'll explain that. Wait a minute. Let me move ahead, okay, since you bring that up.
Okay.
So I'm going to bring in another aspect of your body not being you that you have not probably considered. I don't know whether I mentioned part of this or not. So let's take this into an image, if you can make it along the way.
Okay.
We know that your parents are your body's parents, not your parent. Do we not?
We know that, yes.
We know that they made a body, a starter body, and gave it to you, did they not?
That's correct.
And then, in this case, you made your body yours at some point.
Mm-hmm.
We okay?
I'm okay with that, yes.
Do you understand that the DNA of your body then becomes as your DNA? It's a coded information of data and information that now becomes yours.
Yes.
Where did the DNA come from that is in your body that in a sense makes it what it is and to a great extent keeps it functioning even though you're not paying attention to anything? Where'd that DNA come from?
Wasn't that part of my starter body, my starter basic equipment?
Where did the DNA in your starter body come from?
From my parents.
So, when they did their dastardly deed, half of your DNA came from your mother and half of your DNA came from your father.
That's the way I understand it.
Okay, let's just assume that close enough. Where did your father's DNA come from?
From his mother and father.
And where did your mother's DNA come from?
From her mother and father.
Well, where did her mother's DNA come from?
Similarly, a pairing of male and female.
So if we carry this backward, you beginning to see then that there is a DNA ever-expanding branch of individuals that you're lugging around with you in your DNA.
Yeah, I have a little bit of all of them.
So, the DNA that is you is the backstory of thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people.
Yes.
Do you think it would be possible that you could follow the your pattern of DNA to access all of those thousands and thousands and thousands of people?
Presuming that each one of them made their DNA eventually, made their DNA their own before they pass it along, then so all of that their own has been passed along in one direction, so I presume we should be able to go back the other way.
Go back the other way? What do you mean by that?
Back, fan out through the thousands and thousands and thousands that they came from.
Oh, okay. And even if one didn't, the DNA would be still of the parents. You would just drop one individual out, but the parents would. If they didn't make their body their own, etc., then the DNA would be merely you'd skip a generation. But you'd still, in that, then have this great fanning out in the past of you, a great flood of people.
Yes.
And then that, through that, following that chain of DNA, which is in your DNA, you should be able to access all of those people. Much in the same way as you access a person's past lives, you are or can access all of that backstory of the individual you're giving a reading to.
Son of a bitch, never ever considered that. Wow.
So, we could say as a beginning, wait just a minute, that means the past is not gone, it's not dead, and there's a whole hell of a lot you can do with that because it is a tremendous archive of information.
Yes.
Sounds like an interesting thing then. So, maybe then you're in going on to say your body is not you, that's true. But your body gives you access to this tremendous archive, like, the reading of the record of Jason's life. It gives you this great archive of data and information that is available to you, which even if you make your body yours, it then becomes a question, are you willing to access this data and information that you have?
Wow, that's really fascinating.
Well, if that's interesting, the least little bit interesting, let's consider Lucy, not your Lucy. Let's consider Lucy from Ethiopia, I think it was. This little being that might have been the original Eve, that from Lucy, way in the back, all of mankind came from that. And Lucy passed, there must have been a Uncle Lucy too. In other words, so Mr. Lucy and Mrs. Lucy passed on their DNA to their kids and their kids and their kids and their, and to where everybody in the universe might be related to Lucy. So it, in one case, it fans out into the back, and from you as a single source, and on the other hand, from Lucy as a single source, it fans forward to you. You are just one of a gazillion from Lucy. What if the body and you, in that regard, allows you a great archive of information, and as well, what you're doing today is you're trying to become the wisest person in the universe, because you're not taking, advantage of that great archive or library of information that is behind you. You're trying to become what you already are. Is we okay so far?
We are okay so far.
Why do you say it that way?
I don't think I had any thought in mind about any particular information.
Okay. So you could see from that in one image, then it's like one wheel going clockwise of your car as you live, and one wheel of your car going counterclockwise, but they're actually doing the same thing. So the DNA in this is flowing forwards and backwards, or allowing you then to see and know or access this great information. Or you can live it as, gee, I don't have that information, I've got to go get it. And so you've been living the language of get it into the future and ignoring the fact that you have, through your DNA coding in that regard, you have access to thousands and thousands of people and lives. What if you opened that channel up such that whenever you needed a certain problem, you could call upon that? Wait a minute. The question is asking, what do you do when you do a reading for somebody? Do you get out of your way and then access that other person's past lives in some order or degree that makes sense? Did you do anything special to get it, to have it, to know it? Or did you get out of your own way and the information was there for you?
It's simply that get out of my own way, and then it just flows along, just as easy as all get out.
So in the same way, then the information you need about your life today could be just as accessible for you, because you know you've got this great internet of information through your own body. So your parents are still not your parents, but they give you coded information and access to that coded information. So they're not all bad. But if you're so busy trying to then learn, grow, and develop to be what you want to be, to gain the information and knowledge and etc. Well, wait a minute now. Let's see now. Could it be then that if you are a fully, let's call it, awakened eternal being, that you already have or that knowledge and information available to you, such that no matter what happened to you, you would be living that full awareness of yourself, self-evidently so, that nothing would discontent you?
Yeah.
Okay. The question is, then, when you are, say, living happy, mad, glad, sad, or whatever, you are in a sense denying who you are. You are denying, even through your body's DNA code, which you could do if you want to understand it, access that great archive. You don't have a personal Google. That's your problem. Maybe you need to give yourself a search engine. And so, therefore, you're denying because the language is based on becoming greater, superior, and etc. But wait a minute. If I access all of that information, I'm still not any greater or other. I just merely have gone to the library. Does any of this make the beginning of making sense?
It does, and I'm going to ask a question here that may be a sideways question, but it's come up for me. So that even having a preference is probably already discontenting myself, is it not?
That's right. You've discontented yourself treating, you weren't living self-evidently as you are. You've already denied that, so you've discontented yourself, and now what you're doing is trying to have a preference to sort of get your, pardon the expression, contentment back. But contentment ain't what it's all about.
So, how do we live pizza and beer without it being a preference?
Oh, because I can have pizza. Remember when I gave you the illustration at the relationship in 02, I think it was, in that regard. In a sense, I said, we go out and Miss M wants to go to Tashima's and maybe I want to go to Bianelli's for pizza and beer. But I would choose Tashima's because Miss M wants to go there. The question is, and it makes no difference to me whether then it becomes Tashima's or Bianelli's pizza and beer. See, you set your preferences and then live by that. You're not even willing to set your preferences, but what if your preferences really don't matter?
That's what I'm getting to see here, that the preferences really don't matter.
They're not an issue.
They matter. What's that?
They're not an issue, because if they matter, you've already lost the game.
Yep.
If they matter, then you've already destroyed a piece of the relationship. So, when they don't matter, you're content either way. I have preferences, but they don't matter. I'm not discontent in not having this preference, let's call it.
And you living self-evidently so includes going with your wife where she wants to go, because that's what you do, self-evidently so.
And I do that because that's my not discontenting eternal being going.
I think I'm beginning to understand this.
Okay. Well, then you could maybe understand from some of this that living the self and life you truly desire is not a secret process.
You mean that handshake that you and I have been practicing isn't working?
No. Yet it is so simple that it seems to remain a secret. Well, one of the ideas in that is that creative people know that whatever they are doing, they just made it up and then made it real. So, discontenting yourself is you haven't made it up. You haven't lived yourself self-evidently as you truly desire. Could you not make that up and then make that real? Living as I truly desire, and you know, we all screw up, then is going to Tsushima's if that's where Misty wants to go. Even Copernicus, and we're now talking about 1530, Copernicus in challenging an Earth-centered solar system, well, it was obvious to everybody at the time that that the Earth was the center of the solar system and everything revolved around the Earth. Well, Copernicus said, what seems obvious is not true, because what is true is not obvious. And that's what we just said. We've never thought about the fact that we can, that is true. We've always thought of DNA going forward. We never thought about the DNA going backwards, and that the DNA code is my, wait a minute, that's my secret encode and decode key for a holographic universe or a holographic me. Are you willing to consider that that every belief in your life has been made up? Wait a minute. If a belief has been made up and we got this backward spans of information, etc., then maybe the belief wasn't really made up. It was just decoded from that past expanse of information. And so the belief is real. It wasn't a made up piece of fantasy. What if this is true to the point of, if we follow everything backwards, generation after generation, you are living the life for thousands of people. In fact, what you're doing now is you're living as an eternal being for these thousands of people, are you not?
Yeah.
And you have access to them. You could even like doing a past life reading. But the point is, in a past life reading, you're following a DNA pattern backward, a particular pattern backwards of, let's call it, my particular lives. The question is, can you get off of that track? If you go backwards and it expansive, that means that there is not only this great expansiveness of data and information, which was this person, that person, these lives, those lives, but you can combine all of that data and information in almost in infinite different ways. Hell, man, you're a walking archive of everything, of all sorts of stuff. Is it possible that not until now, say, becoming aware of this, that you, and by avoiding the past, or you have to get through or past your memories to follow this pattern, you have to get past memories and into memory, such that then you have access to all this data and information. Is that reasonable?
It sounds reasonable, yes.
So, if you only follow memories, that's the point. If you only follow memories, you're only following a pattern that you have experienced. But as I said in Book 1, Chapter 1, Chapter A, that real consciousness in sense of memory enables you to know that which you have never experienced. Well, you've never experienced these thousands of people, but through memory, you have access, or you through DNA, you have a direct phone line to all of these people and all of this data and information. What if you stop closing yourself off to the past by saying, oh, well, it's gone. No, that may be true in terms of memories, but when you get past your memories into memory, then all of a sudden everything shifts. It becomes a real access of archival information. What if you're avoiding that? But anyway, go ahead.
I'm sorry, I'm talking over you. Could you say that again?
I said, what if you're avoiding that archival pile of information? Have you ever thought that the teachings are that everything you do, everything that you've ever done, has been written down in the Book of Life, and therefore you think, oh shit, I don't want to read that book. It's probably got all sorts of crap about me in it, and therefore you don't access that data and information as I've just sort of tried to describe it. That whole web of information that is available to you, because you think, oh, it might reveal something about me that I don't want revealed. So maybe you're avoiding really seeing yourself or knowing yourself because of memories that keeps you from bypassing your... Wait a minute, here's an example. Let's see if we can get this across. If you're doing a reading for someone else and you get out of your own way, the worst bad way that you got to get out of is your own memories. So you can start accessing or practicing in accessing that archival of information by doing a reading for someone else. Because you don't have to be afraid about exposing your own memories. And then after you keep doing that for a while, you find out, gee, I can do that anytime on any subject that I want, and it will follow the pattern of my encode-decode key that allows me to follow to gain the information that I truly desire in what I'm doing today. Would that be so bad?
Oh, that'd be just such a burden, Roger.
Yes, Maren. Is any of this coming somewhat across?
Well, it is for me.
Yes.
That must be Helena.
Yes, it is.
Hello.
It almost sounds like the body memory through the ages of DNA that precede us or in the past of us. Is that also part of the universe where you within A you also have GF, and within B you have
that's right
XY,
that's how
it's the same.
So you can follow that same pattern in such that what I said was you end up having access to things that you have never ever experienced before.
That also accounts for either dreams or visions of things that you've never experienced in your own memory, and yet all of a sudden you see something and it's like, oh my goodness, that's what I dreamed or that's what I saw as a thought.
It could be, but let's look at it this way. Are you willing to look at that great archive of information is essentially your eternal self?
Yes, I am.
In other words, you hitch a ride on your eternal self. And are able in that, well, wait a minute, if you're hitching a ride on your eternal self, maybe communioning with personal being and eternal being would open that pathway.
Yes. That would make sense if the only way it could occur.
So, we've got several things going here in that regard. Then your eternal self is your eternal self. But it's also an eternal self for all these other people.
Ooh, yes! That makes even more sense.
But don't consider that there's only one eternal self called God. Don't go there.
No, that's... no.
Okay. Could you be... do you suppose you could be selective in the data and information that... you know, like in the old ways, you go to the library and then you search the card files for what information you get. Today you got a Google engine to do all the work for you. Could you be selective in all this vast information behind you that is not necessarily eternal, but is available to you by coded number or something of that nature?
It definitely sounds like a possibility.
So then, maybe who you are and what you are today expresses your encode key, which allows you, and whatever you might be doing or working on, allows you access not to, well, you have all of that information there, but it, what you are and doing and who you are today, narrows things down like a search engine to give you what you need or want. It doesn't just flood you with information that is no meaning.
That makes sense, because the opposite would be overwhelming and you'd be insane.
Okay. So that might mean then that you should truly be and live yourself in everything you do, because who and what you are, that self of who and what you are, is your encode decode key.
So it sounds like you're saying the more you live yourself, the more you strengthen that, what? I don't know if you call it a filter, but that focus.
It strengthens your access.
Oh, okay, right.
So when, as a privileged being, you declare who you are, that you will be eternally, that doesn't narrow you down, does it? It gives you access to the great expansiveness of who you are. Without the declaration, you have no known key, and no way then to access the information you truly desire. If you don't live self-evidentingly that key, if you're this person this time and something else later on, hey, you may have a pocket full of keys, but they're not necessarily going to work for you. We okay with that?
Roger, curious. Even if you could, let's say, access a little bit, wouldn't it be just so confusing that you wouldn't understand it anyway, and all you do is set yourself up more?
That's why it's called an encode key and a decode key. If you don't know that, you'd get the information, but you couldn't decode it.
It wouldn't make any sense.
Right.
Aha.
Wait a minute. something comes to light here. What if you need your decode key in order to decode your dreams? They occur, and you talk about them, and you use your language, but what if that's not your decode key? What if your decode key is the eternal privileged being that is you, that you can understand it in your way only by knowing holding the key and knowing the key of how you would be willing to be and live eternally? Would there be in your mind any other important key for you than knowing how you have declared you would be willing to be and live eternally? If there is, what might that be?
I don't know what that would be, because that sounds like that would be my ultimate key.
Well, wait just a minute then. If that would be your ultimate key, and you were living that, and you had that ultimate access of information available to you, wouldn't you be able to live any event that comes to you and be content?
Yes.
In the knowing of yourself?
Yes.
So, you're discontenting yourself only because you won't use your access key and then access the data and I'm not going to say infinite, but this great archive of data and information that you have available to you.
Yes, because it would present itself in a manner that was you.
You'd be able to know it and understand it.
And understand it.
Oh, damn, you could decode it and know what it was all about, what it was saying. But it isn't saying anything to you. It is you searching and having the data and information and talking to yourself.
Yes, that's what it would kind of feel like, wouldn't it?
That's right. So, your eternal self in that regard gives you the key and then allows you the access. Absent the key, absent the eternal self, you think, well, shit, what's this all about? I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
Yep.
Oh, well.
And with the key, it makes sense.
So you'd be living all of those people, that whole archival pile of information, and maybe you'd get something out of it every now and then. But it wouldn't mean a whole hell of a lot. If you want to have access to that kind of information, you need your declaration, which is your key of access, and you need to be aware of your eternal self, which then follows, like a search engine, all of that that information and enables you, through your eternal self, to gain the information, the data and information you truly desire in your life. Then hell, if you did that, you wouldn't be out trying to soothe your emotions or excite your life, because you could truly live expansively knowing that you always had that data and information available to you. Now let me ask you another question. It's interesting. Do you think that your life after death is going to be one great, glorious, wise, happy, understanding, joyful, loving, caring, compassionate life? Doesn't that sound like a lot of crap? But what if your life is, hey, wait a minute, it's all the same stuff, essentially, but you don't discontent yourself? In other words, religion has you believing that you're here to learn your lessons, discontent, to endure and suffer, discontent to the max. To gain wisdom and understanding, discontent. What if that's not true? Maybe it is for you to live this life or a life and understand that and live that self-evidently, so without discontenting yourself.
Yes, Roger, another question, or at least an observation. It sounds like the discontenting, we're narrowing ourselves.
Of course. Even if you are happy as a clam, you are essentially in that discontenting yourself. So your happiness narrows you and narrows you and narrows you, simply because once you've gotten a taste of some kind of happiness, well, then I'm trying to do the same thing so I can be happy again. And your life gets narrower and you see?
Narrower.
You see?
Yeah. And whether you're, it's the discontentment caused from your beliefs of God or discontentment caused from beliefs of society, it's all the same stuff.
See?
Still narrowing.
That's right.
Oh, gosh.
So, joy and bliss narrows you. The promise of God narrows you. You never realized that before.
No.
Well, okay. So, the more you go for, I'm trying to be happy, what are you doing to me? You're screwing yourself. Okay.
Okay.
Are we still on? Is somebody there?
Yeah. So you basically then all love and all the good stuff narrows us. But we would also say that what? Hate and anger and struggle and all that other stuff also narrows you.
That's right.
You're not getting anywhere coming or going with that stuff.
That's right. But then maybe your life is from where you come from is trying to avoid. But you're not trying to avoid bad, evil, but you're trying to avoid both bad, evil, and good, love, the good and the bad. You're trying to avoid both of those. And
wait, where I'm coming from, where I mean, I'm sorry, let me just clarify, because most people are trying to avoid the bad stuff and they're trying to get some of that stuff we call good stuff.
Remember I asked Marin if it is possible that where she comes from, that those things don't exist, those beliefs and ideas and emotions.
Oh, right.
And et cetera.
Yeah, right.
What if where you come from is, let's call it the land of being content?
Oh, now that makes a whole lot of sense.
And so then what you're doing is, in a sense, whether you realize it, yeah, you're trying to avoid, but you're trying to avoid the bad stuff, but you don't realize it. You're really in that avoiding the good stuff, like the good and the evil stuff. What if you come from a place or a land or an understanding or an awareness or whatever you want to call it, in which the only emotion is being content, and that means that you're not discontenting yourself.
Okay, I think I even kind of remember that. All right.
Okay. Well, let's assume that's the case. Let's assume that you understand that. Then what might be your greatest purpose in life?
Maybe it's not discontenting yourself.
Oh, revealing your eternal self, or where you come from, wherein life is the same. Yet, in that, then, you are not discontenting yourself.
well, then I guess you'd have everything, wouldn't you?
Well, wait a minute. Even more than that, what if it is to show others how to live and not discontent themselves?
Yeah, or guide them back to their own non-discontent, if you allow me to non-word.
That's fine. We'll allow that. So, you see?
Okay, yeah.
Because then you're not dragging them to bliss or heavenly stuff or love or goodness in that regard, because that means you're trying to gain those things. What you're showing them is that they can live without discontenting themselves. So there's nothing to gain. Because in not discontenting yourself, you have access to all of this stuff.
Okay. Right.
How did you get access to
it? I never thought about it. I never thought about the discontent was blocking that stuff. I thought the discontent was because I didn't have that stuff.
Ah, you see? Now, the question is, I've forgotten where I was going to go. Somebody say something while I'm thinking about where I was going to go. Say something profound.
Profound.
Well, I mean, yeah, you were talking about, I had said something like that the good stuff and the hate stuff, all the good stuff and the bad stuff is equally discontenting or misguiding you or wherever we were. I'm sorry, I cut you off from right before, that was right before you were going to go to your other thing, right after.
No, it didn't matter. I was listening to you, but I was also, I wanted to add to that significantly, so, and then I forgot what it was. Okay, well, just...
Roger?
Well, you were saying that love and stuff is discontenting, or...
Yeah, I don't know where I was. I can't remember now.
All right.
Okay. If I remember it, I'll come back to it. Yes, Alina?
Well, as I'm listening, it sounds like the discontent is basically those things that we've judged as good or bad or whatever.
No, you discontent yourself first, and then you judge what you have discontented yourself about.
Ah.
See, if you had been fully living yourself, some people would say a fully self-realized person, but I'm saying that is much the same thing. But if you are living self-evidentingly you, then you would this may be hard to take, but you would be so self-centered involved in that regard that you would not be discontented by anything that happened to you. And allow me those last words.
Okay, yeah.
Could you understand that if you are truly living yourself self-evidentingly in that way, that anything that happened to you, you would know that before it happened, thus it would never happen to you?
Ah, like a recognition and awareness, because you are so aware of yourself.
And so whatever occurred would only be an awareness of yourself, so it wouldn't be anything to be reacting to.
Yes, exactly, that was my thought. Yes, I can see that.
Well, that's what I've been talking about for all these years, and trying to get there one slow step at a time. So, wait just a minute now. Is it possible then that if you are truly living that communion between personal and eternal, and if you are living self-evidentingly so, and if you have immediate... Oh, I know what I was going to say a minute ago. I'll repeat it in a minute. Remind me body stuff. Okay. And if you were living yourself... So, now I forgot where I was going. I remembered the other and I forgot where I was going this time.
back to body stuff.
Okay, go back to body stuff. You, as a personal being, have access to all of this archive of information through, oh, I know what it was, yeah, through your body, right?
Yep.
Yes.
Are you willing, wait a minute, are you willing to accept that your eternal self does not have a similar body, and in that does not have access as you have access, and therefore the eternal self is dependent upon you?
Could you say that again? It kind of got broken up.
You have access to all this great fanned out expansive data and information in the past through your body. Are you willing to accept then that your eternal self doesn't have a physical body and therefore doesn't have access to all this data and information, and therefore the eternal self is dependent on you and your body in order to have access to that wisdom and understanding, etc., etc., etc.?
Okay, well, that follows the image. Let me ask you a question, though, right? Once it has had access to a body, dies, and that body no longer lives, neither does that, what, persona, does it still have access to the information that it had? I think it does.
I don't think it does.
Wait a minute. It's like A, okay, the image I'm following there, is it A, B, A bumps up against B and has access to C, D, E, F, G? Because of that interaction.
All right.
No.
So I'm assuming that the eternal being bumped and...
Yeah, but wait just a minute now. Allow me this. That was a physical construct of the universe, or material construct of the universe. Once the eternal being does not have, let's call it, a physical body representation, it doesn't have access. It only has access...
It doesn't have access, but does it have memory of what it did have access to? Maybe that's what I should ask. But it doesn't have active access.
All right. I can understand what you're talking about. Yeah,
I'm just asking, yeah.
I know, but I hadn't considered that. Yeah, it does, but then it only has the limited access that the personal body has made access to.
Okay.
So, if your mother didn't know this and didn't access, or your father didn't know or didn't access, somewhere along the line, the eternal self is stopped in its access because it doesn't even have memories of it.
Oh, it doesn't have memories of it?
No.
What would you call, like, when I do a regression and I walk back into a life and I'm essentially reliving that life? Do I have access at that point to a holographic representation of what I had?
All right. Are you alive?
I am.
Do you have a body?
Yep.
Does the person you're doing a reading for have a body?
Yeah. Well, I was even just talking about a regression, but yes. Yes and yes.
Well, okay, but we're talking about if there was no body. If there is no body for you, or no body of the person.
Question. I guess I presume there's some physical form.
We're not talking about a physical form, because everything is physical. We're talking about a material form.
All right.
In that sense.
Yeah.
A DNA form.
Okay.
No DNA, no access.
All right.
So then eternal being could have some memories, but if those beings had not used the DNA access in that regard, and the declaration so that it has understanding, If it doesn't use that in that way, then the eternal being does not have that.
Oh, okay, right. But so, you're really locking this eternal being away pretty good.
Well, but it's always been. I'm trying to say, look, we've always treated that as Mr. Wise Guy, and it directs your life. I'm giving you your authority back in your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
I'm giving it right back, which in a couple of weeks we'll get into that one, and that's, it's like I said, that was last week, Waitaha, understanding of the authority of man. But okay, go ahead, Mayalina.
Okay, what at least I'm starting to see is that if somebody does not access that past body data, then the eternal being that is part of them does not have access to that information.
No, all I've said before is somebody doesn't do that, there is a gap in the flow of information. What I then said is the eternal being today needs a personal being with a material body in order to follow the DNA code. If you don't have if you don't have the DNA code, then you can't access all of that data, or you might be able to access it, but like you indicated before, you get information, but it's a flood of information you can't make sense of.
Okay.
So, Roger, is it a conversation on another day to discuss the relationship between this massive DNA pool and mind?
Sure. Right now.
Okay.
So what's the?
Up until now, I've had when I thought of mind, it was this undifferentiated mass of data and information that not necessarily physical or not necessarily material. And then does DNA arise as further consolidation of mind?
DNA does what?
Arise from further consolidation, particularization of mind.
Oh, I see. Let's work it backwards the other way. And let's say, do you understand that is your mind that follows the DNA trail?
Forgot that part.
Well,
yeah, okay,
that's the important part. And that's what we've been talking about in these exercises and suscitation and etc. Suscitation is actively minding that DNA trail. The DNA trail is only like driving down the highway, but the highway is not the thing. The minding, moving along the trail, is what gets you to the data and information. Does data and information come to you in this understanding, or do you reach out for the data and information you desire?
I think it's the second of the two.
Okay, but what we're all the self-help books is manifest the things you want in your life. Hell no! Reach out for the things you want in your life. See, all of our beliefs based on God and etc., or all of these sort of things, are working against you. Because you're trying to manifest the data to you rather than following the line or highway or whatever you want to call it, that you reach out to the data and information you need. stand still and God will manifest for you. No, he won't. Stand there like a dumb bunny with your mouth open, wait for a roasted duck to fly in. That's got a better chance than God manifesting this stuff to you.
So even in doing a past life reading, I get out of my own way and then I proceed down the line that I'm interested in.
Well, yes and no. So let's back up here again. When you are doing a reading for someone else, you have first of all gotten out of the way of your memories because you don't got any memories about this person.
Correct.
Okay. Number two, and listen to this very carefully. All you are doing in the reading is tuning in to what the other person says to you, and then you feed it back to the person and put it on tape. Do you understand that?
Yes.
So the person gives you the information and then you give it back to the person.
Yeah.
Who is getting out of whose way?
That takes both, doesn't it?
Yeah, because that means the person always has had access to all of that information but blocked it off. And in this situation, in this intimate relationship between you and the other person, that person is partially so anyway, accessing that information, but to a great extent has that ability but didn't know it, but expresses it to you for you to express to the person. All I'm saying here is that when you, in getting that for another person, that's getting out of your way and getting into that awareness and habit, then you can follow this on your own to more expansive than the person you're doing the reading for. Does that make sense?
I see that. How it's...
But that all means, wait a minute, that means that the person you're doing the reading for always had access to this information, but denied herself that access. Reasonable?
Yep.
Aha. Uh-huh. But that means so did you.
Yes.
So you've always had access to this, but then you denied your own access.
Wow, yep.
And it's your own beliefs and understandings today that in a gazillion different ways that denies you this access. Among other things, it denies you because you're living from a single source and thinking that, gee, I gotta do something to get all this information rather than living that the information is always there and always has been there for you all along. Let's assume this is the case for just a minute. Let's assume that God doesn't exist. Let's assume that as it is expressed in the Book 1, Chronicle A, that God wasn't necessary in all of this. If life was random and occurred the way it's described in Book 1, do you think it would evolve to, hey, all this data and information is available to you, or that you just wait and God will give it to you?
Well, I think it would, the first way that all this is available to you.
same way as A's and B's bumping up. All they have to do is bump with each other, and they got it.
Absolutely, you see. But every belief in that in God or Jesus or Muhammad or whatever,
the supreme power,
that they are the way, they are going to give you the information that that you have to learn it, grow it, develop and get it, evolve to it, and etc. are the things that block you from having the awareness of the data that is already built into you.
So history really isn't a history of getting smarter. It's actually been a history of how we've been
denying ourselves and even doing things that then we end up in a great avoidance.
So are you basically saying that a kid is closer to access than an adult is who's been indoctrinated in all this language stuff?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, I would assume so. I mean, I'm not saying a kid is like, you know, blank slate, but I'm
no, but he hasn't been so far away from that access that he has got into so many denials and etc. yet.
Yeah, right.
Wait a minute. Didn't somebody say, as you become like the little children?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's what we're really talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't mean little children, thank God.
What? Why didn't it mean that?
No, it just meant don't forget the your access to this information.
Yeah, right.
And then could you see then that in all of this then that life after this death or this lifetime would be much the same, only that you would not be discontenting yourself. And in that you could have access to more than just the truth of yourself. It isn't then.
It's worthy of consideration. Yeah, I definitely have never thought of it.
So then that life is not after death this great wonder spiritual stuff, but it is in the sense that if you take away all the discontenting that you do about your life, then a life of being content would be great wondrous spiritual, because it would not have all those struggles.
Oh, I see. And it wouldn't even matter if the circumstances hadn't changed.
Wait a minute. That means then that as all the random events occur in your life, instead of being discontented about that, by holding on to not discontenting yourself, you could make every event in your life be as you truly desire. You only lose that power because you discontent yourself before you even start. Well, if that's okay, if we've come right to the end of it, there's no sense in going on to the next sentence here. We might as well quit a moment or two ahead of time while we're still ahead.
Not discontented about that.
Okay, then. Go forth and do not discontent yourself.
Right. Good night and thank you.
Bye.
Very good. Thank you.
Bye.